Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Again, Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was, when Abram came into Egypt, that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here's your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Verses 1 through 20, Genesis chapter 12. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the many ways that your word blesses us, empowers us, guides us, counsels us, and strengthens us as we walk with you. And thank you, Lord, for the men of God and the women of God we find, as in many ways are great role models, but at the same time, show us our areas of fault as we see their faults as well. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word, to grow in our commitment to reading and meditating on your word, and help us grow in our understanding of the need for us to fill our lives with your word, and thus fill our lives with your counsel, your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, and your power that comes from your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening in, and we hope that as you listen in to the Hour of Intercession, that you're growing in your understanding of the need to make prayer a high, one of the great and high priorities of your life. How important it is for us to recognize that in many ways we see prayer as a currency in the kingdom of God of sorts. And you know, of course, in the natural, if you decide to print your own money, then you're going to get you a free room in the local state penitentiary pretty quickly. But in the spirit, again, prayer is a currency of sorts. And God will let you pray as much as you choose. And understand this, keep in mind, God wants you to fill your life with prayer, because there's so many ways in which so many things money would never get for you anyway, that as you learn to pray and seek your Heavenly Father in prayer, you have a Heavenly Father that not only is willing to answer prayer, He loves to answer prayer. And there are many things He's ready to do for you right away as you learn to seek Him in prayer. So I hope that as you're listening, that you're in a very practical way learning more importantly, how important it is to make prayer one of the great priorities of your life. God's church is referred to as the house of prayer, and it's good for you to understand the why behind that. God wants his people to be living lives filled with prayer, because it's through prayer, that is, through seeking God and being in that close fellowship relationship with God as we converse and walk with him, that's how much of the kingdom of God is built and God's work gets done. So, again, we appreciate you listening in and hope that you're listening and learning and putting to practice what we teach and share with you. Remember, truth is meant to be applied. Don't ever make the big mistake of that you just want to learn truth just for the sake of knowing it. God wants you to understand. He wants you to be full of truth, but he wants you to apply that truth, because the blessing comes as you know the truth and walk in it, and that's where freedom and peace is found as well. I'd like to remind you once again, we want to invite you to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. And there you'll find a number of blogs and articles that will strengthen and encourage you in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And also want to encourage you to get our free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. Go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk. And again, that way you can take Urban Family Talk with you wherever you may go. So I hope that you'll take time to do that. And then finally, we invite you to go on our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like those. If you'll do that, we'd really, really appreciate that. Today, specifically, we're looking in the Word of God and looking at the topic of building blocks of Christian manhood. Again, the topic, building blocks of Christian manhood. I want to look specifically at this topic because there's a huge need in the body of Christ, there's a huge need in the world for much more ministry to happen that reaches out specifically to men and young boys as well. The sad reality is, keep in mind, throughout the history of the church, Satan has tried to attack men in particular. You may recall in the book of Exodus how that Pharaoh decided he would try to get rid of the Israelites by destroying the boys. Now, you might say, well, what's his thinking behind that? Well, there are a number of different perspectives insofar as why he chose to do that, but his goal was to go after the boys. And, of course, in the day of Jesus himself, once again, one of the kings, Herod, he wanted to kill the baby boys in an attempt to get rid of Jesus. Well, the fact is, Satan has had a war against men in particular. Of course, Satan hates everybody, but he especially hates the leadership that God has placed in the man, in the body of Christ, and in the family as well. So Satan always has, and he always will be attacking men in particular. So it's important for the church to be mindful that a very high priority for the church is to be praying much for men and praying much for ministry that is focused especially on men and boys to be raised up. So those are two important prayer matters for us to address. Now, as we begin, I want to share with you an important, well, it's a parable. I want you to listen to the words of this parable because it reminds us of the importance of us staying focused on the priorities God gives us as the church. The story is told of how that on a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves, they went out day or night tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that it became a famous life-saving station. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding areas wanted to become associated with the life-saving station and give their time and money and effort to support its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained. The little life-saving station began to grow. Some of the new members of the life-saving station were unhappy with the building because it was so crude and so poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in an enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became a more popular and more comfortable gathering place for its members, and they redecorated it beautifully and furnished it with all sorts of club items. Well, less and less of the members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do their work. The mission of life-saving was still given lip service, and the motif was still found in the decoration of the building, but many of the members were too busy or lacked the necessary commitment to take part in the life-saving activities personally. Not long after this, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some of them had skin of different colors from the members of the life-saving station. Some spoke in strange languages, and the beautiful new club was, all of a sudden, it had become a mess, a dirty mess. So the property committee immediately had a shower built outside the club so that the victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside the life-saving station. Not long after that, there was a meeting of the members of the life-saving station. And at that meeting, the members had a big split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities because they were considered unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal life patterns of the club. But some of the members insisted that the life-saving station was the work, in other words, the life-saving station and work was their primary objective and was their primary purpose. And these members pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. But finally, those that wanted to keep the life-saving activity as their priority were voted down and told that if they wanted to do life-saving and all the things, the kinds of things they did to help people, then they could go down the coast and start their own life-saving station. Well, that's what those members did. They started another life-saving station a little further down the coast. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred at the old one. They evolved into a club and stopped saving lives. And yet another life-saving station was founded after that, and another, and another. If you were to visit that seacoast today, you'd find a number of exclusive clubs all along that shore, not very many life-saving stations. Shipwrecks still occur frequently in those waters, but most of the people drown. Again, a parable, but a powerful parable about the work of the church, about the ministry God has called us to. Remember, the Great Commission is to go into all the world and make disciples. That's to be our priority. Every Christian, every believer is supposed to be involved in this very important work. An important question is, are you yourself involved in the work of making disciples, that is, sharing the gospel and helping people to grow up? And today, as we focus specifically on ministering to men, I would encourage every believer listening, men and women, and every church that's represented, to ask yourself, how effectively are you reaching out to people as a whole, but to men in particular? Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be vitally involved in the work of the making of disciples, but especially making disciples specifically amongst the men of the world. Lord, raise up more and more ministries that know how to effectively reach out to so many men who are not in the church, so many men that don't seem to see a need to give their lives to Christ, so many men that feel like faith is a crutch and not even something that's a critical part of life. Lord, help us to become an effective church that's effectively doing this work of sharing the gospel with men, discipling them, and helping them to grow up to become godly men that live for you, that live for your glory, and live for the building of your kingdom. And Lord, help us to always be a relevant church, a faithful church, a courageous church, and a diligent church, diligently doing the work you've called us to. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession again. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of building blocks of Christian manhood. And so as we focus on this topic, I want you to listen, whoever you might be, with the goal and the desire of really looking into your own heart and asking, how much are you really praying that God would raise up ministries to men that reach out and help them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and help them to become strong, godly men that will live for His glory. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
The cross is a central fact of our faith. It is no accident that our thoughts continually bring us back to Golgotha. But the cross of Christ never stands alone. The two thieves' crosses should carry a message for us too. One of the thieves joined in with the others who were mocking Jesus. It's crazy to realize that he was mouthing off and pouring out his 2 cents worth to the one who was literally loving him until the death and dying for him. The lesson in that? How close can you actually be to Jesus and still miss him? You can be in church every time the doors are open and actually serve in the capacity of your giftings and miss him. You could be a founding member of the church and still miss him. You can be in ministry and still miss him. The tragedy of the human story is that there have been many and will be many more who are closest to Christ and miss him and are lost. Don't miss him. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Power Jams.
I just happen to be listening to the radio, like I always say.
Power Jams.
You just happen to come on once, and I said, what is this? And I heard this, that electricity sound. And I said, what is this?
Power Jams.
And then the next thing I know, you put on 2 or 3 songs, and I said, wow. And they were there.
Power Jams.
And then you came on, you called a lady mama. I think you call her mama. And then you got Jose. And I said, listen to these folks on this radio.
Power Jams.
Wake up, show.
If you blessing me, just imagine how you blessing others.
Come on, turn it up in my headphones. Go ahead now. Let's do this.
Come on, let's win these young peoples to the Lord. Wait
a minute. Jose, cut that down. Cut that down.
Hey, Jose.
What?
Not man. That's the wrong song, Jose.
Can't win no young peoples with that. Come on, bring that thing in like it's supposed to be.
Power Jams.
That's it. Power Jams. The Wake Up Show. Coming back to Urban Family Talk.
Hey, baby.
Saturday, April 1st at 8 o'clock a.m. and again at 8 p.m. right here on Urban Family Talk.
How's he gonna do it?
Listen, it's been determined.
Determined.
Yeah.
We on the
description. Listen.
The weapons of our warfare are mine.
That's it.
Mighty
Ephesians 6 and 12.
We don't fight against flesh and blood. The principalities
are ours. Let's sing about the 2 Corinthians, y'all.
Of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Arvinner Session here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic specifically of building blocks of Christian manhood. And as we look at what the Word of God has to say and to teach us about this important topic, again, this is an issue, a matter that needs to be a high priority for the church today, reaching out and ministering specifically to men and to boys. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, specifically beginning at verse 21, it says, now these instructions that young men and young women that look forward to marrying should read, also these instructions that men and women who are married, husbands and wives should read, but these are also things parents should read to be able to pass on wisdom and counsel to give to your children, your sons and daughters that may one day seek to marry. But as we focus on men, we want you parents especially, let's consider things we need to do and teach our boys. Again, Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Verses 21 through 33, Ephesians chapter 5. Now, let me say as we start off here in looking at this, to every parent listening, parents, it's a very wise thing for you to have your sons and your daughters actually to read the passage in Ephesians 5, because it talks about the God-given responsibilities for husbands and the God-given responsibilities for wives. Now, keep in mind, just reading it is very important. Now, you might think, well, that's not really the place to start. God's word is always the place to start, 100% of the time. You're never unwise to start with the word of God, because God's counsel is where all wisdom comes from. So, yes, starting with the word of God is important. Let your children read that and talk about it with them. Now, you may have a son or daughter that says they don't ever want to get married. Fine, but have them read it anyway, because it has wisdom to help them to become godly men or godly women as well. But keep in mind, you start with the Word of God, because God's Word gives us counsel and guidance about everything, how to be a good man, a good woman, how to be a good husband, wife. But this is important counsel for all of us. Parents, our boys in particular, have some unique challenges. You know, think of this. If you would ask yourself the question, what are some of the biggest challenges that Satan would try to use to keep your boys from accomplishing their goals in life? Well, think about it. What would some of those big challenges be? Well, number one, for example, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. Often, too often, young men hang out with young men that just aren't about anything. Thugs, guys that aren't going anywhere, and they make them their buddies. Well, wise parents will basically seek to help their boys and girls to get good friends, friends that are positive, friends that love the Lord, know the Lord, honor the Lord, friends that are trying to go somewhere. But if you let your boys hang out with fellas that basically carry themselves like thugs, expect your son to become one. Because again, the people you run with, that you hang with, they affect you. So be careful and be prayerful about the friends that your sons run with. Secondly, we live in a world where there's great tragic amounts of drug abuse and alcohol abuse as well. Many times people think it's funny or it's humorous, but the reality is a drunk man or a drunk individual is nothing to laugh at. Whether they're just walking down the street or especially obviously driving, that's nothing funny, because it's sad how many people have been injured or killed by men that have gotten drunk and got behind a wheel. Drugs and alcohol are nothing to play with. Again, anything that gets you high or takes you out of your head, you need to avoid that. And we need to teach our boys, stay away from those kinds of things. You know, I think of this in the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Every parent listening needs to take time to read it. But in Proverbs chapter 31, there was a mother that was wise enough to teach her son some basic truths about life. And so she shared some words of wisdom to help her son in particular, too. And so as we look at that, I want you to really pay attention to this, because all the wisdom this mom was wise enough to share with her sons, every parent listening, you should share this with your son as well. So listen to this again, Proverbs chapter 31. And note, too, that she cuts no corners. She's just pretty much to the point. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Now note again, this is a mom teaching her son. It's a mom talking to her son. She says, "What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." Now, this mom was wise enough to say certain things to her son. She said, "Son, be careful of loose girls." And then she goes on to say, "Son, don't get drunk." Parents, dads, and moms, teach your sons there's never a good time to get drunk, never a good time to get high. Not on New Year's, not on your birthday, there's never a good time to be drunk, because the sad reality is drunk people don't know what you're doing. If you're drunk or high, you don't know what you're doing. And the fact is, many a tragic events have happened when people were drunk or high. Things they had no intention of doing, didn't mean to do, but because they were drunk or high, they did something terrible, something tragic, something destructive in their life or in the life of someone else. So parents, we need to teach and guide our children to stay away from drugs and drug abuse, and to stay away from people that mess with those kinds of things as well. And thirdly then, also, teach your kids, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not steal." Teach your children to stay away from crime and from wrongdoing of that nature. Crime is not funny. When children go to a local department store or a grocery store, and think it's funny to slip something in their pocket and shoplift, well, they may think it's funny until they get caught. But the reality is, parents, if we're wise, we'll teach our children, "Thou shalt not steal. If it's not yours, leave it alone. Don't take things that don't belong to you." Children need to be taught that, and dads and moms need to teach it. Let them read all the way through the Ten Commandments and emphasize that one in particular. It's wrong to steal. Just like you don't want people taking your stuff, other people don't want you taking their stuff either. So teaching your children to stay away from crime, because that's one of the things that can cause all sorts of grief and trouble for the person that they're committing the crime against, but it can cause a lot of grief and trouble for them as well. It's tragic how often you hear of young boys that are injured or killed in the midst of robbery. I'm reminded not too long ago, two very tragic news stories I heard of within the same week. A young man that early in the morning slipped out of his home and went and burglarized a truck, and the owner saw him on camera, came outside, warned him. I don't know if the young man heard him or not, but the boy continued trying to burglarize the truck. The man shot him. The boy was only 18 years old, died. What a tragedy. A young man who should have been at the prime of his life, ready to start his life, dies because he's committing crime, trying to steal something that didn't belong to him. Teach your children to stay away from crime, because crime can not only get them in trouble and get them sent to the penitentiary, crime can get you killed as well. And also, heard of another story of four young men in their 20s were going around robbing drugstores. Well, one of the drugstores had money that basically had a booby trap on it, and made it very easy for the law to catch up with them. And these four young men that should have been on their way or in college are now serving time because they thought stealing was okay. parents as teach our children, thou shalt not steal. So one of the very important goals is for us as parents, teach your children crime is not funny. It's not a game. The fact is, if it's not yours, leave it alone. Don't steal. Don't get involved in any sort of crime. Don't get involved in selling drugs. Don't get involved with stealing or shoplifting, anything of that nature. A fourth issue that is one of the challenges our young men have to deal with, our young men and our young women as well, but we need to teach our young people that sex outside of marriage is sin. Sex is for married men and women. It's for husbands and wives. It's not for boyfriends and girlfriends. It's not for casual friends. It's not for two fellas. It's not for two girls. Sex is for married people between a husband and a wife. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. We're to avoid sexual sin of any form, of any kind. And that's one more reason why it's so wise for us to really make use of the Ten Commandments. They're a wonderful guide and tool to teach our children about all of life. Parents, we should regularly have our children read through the Ten Commandments and teach them what each of the Ten Commandments means. And again, our boys and our girls need help along this line. So teaching that sex outside of marriage is a sin 100% of the time, no matter what the circumstances, because it's only to be found between a husband and a wife, nowhere else. And then there are other unhealthy choices that can be made, but these are four areas in particular that are especially kind of booby trap areas, you know, landmine areas in the lives of young men, actually young men and young women as well. But again, as we focus on ministering to men, parents, let's be sure we address these again. Number one, helping them to avoid bad friends. Number two, helping them to avoid drugs and alcohol. Number three, encourage them to not get involved with crime or robbery of any form. And then fourthly, then teaching that sex is for married people. Keep yourself until you get married. Keep yourself sexually pure, men and women, until you get married. Well, again, the challenges are great, but the fact is there's a great need, as we have already said, for the church to really make it a priority to establish ministry that reaches out specifically to men. Let me share with you again, as we read a few moments ago, from Ephesians chapter 5. Well, again, there are certain challenges we as the church and the church as a whole in reaching out to men, but also parents, as we're teaching our young men to and encouraging them to grow up to become strong young men that will honor the Lord in all the areas of our lives. Four specific areas in particular. Number one, we need to teach our boys to first get saved and then teach them to become spiritual leaders. Number two, we're to teach our boys to respect girls, to respect women. Number three, to teach them to become good providers, to work and to work hard. And number four, teach our boys to be role models for their future wives and their future children as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these areas of need, these areas of counsel that we need to pass on to our boys and to our children. Help us, Lord, to be wise dads and moms. Help us to be wise granddads and grandmoms who work with our grandchildren sometimes and others as well. Help us to be wise pastors and leaders that will teach about these specific areas of need in the lives of our children, areas where they desperately need to know your wisdom, your counsel, rather than arriving at their own answers, which often lead to trouble, difficulty, and even death. Help us to know, Lord, and help us to be courageous and just upfront about teaching our children what's right, what's wrong based on your word, what honors you, what dishonors you, and help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read your word and teach and train them to apply it in every area of life. Lord, empower us to be a church that is full of hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We look today at the topic of building blocks of Christian manhood. We'll be right back.
Identify in the worst of situations.
Dr. Tony Evans says Jesus has been through it all, which is why he can not only understand us, but save us.
We need somebody who's holy like God, who doesn't compromise with sin, but somebody who knows what it is to feel the pain of being in a sinful world.
A look at 10 things that set Jesus apart from every other man who's ever walked the earth. This week on The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
What's your source of income? Your job? Your investments? Social Security? Dr. Tony Evans says none of the above. The right answer comes from Luke chapter 12, and we'll hear more about it as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
It is so hard to get this in the minds of God's children. You only have one source. You do not have many sources. You have many resources, many mechanisms that God uses. If a raven can't find a worm over here, it's gonna go over there, because a raven understands that God has sufficiently provided so that there is a locatable worm somewhere. They understand that. I had a brother, he was in the first service. He called me this week to tell me that they downsized his company and he was laid off. And one of the joys, I just love doing this, is to say that that resource was not the source, and your source has many resource options available to him. So don't you worry that a resource failed when, as long as you are plugged into the source who has multiple resources, you are not limited to the failure of no worms in that job anymore.
Learn more about that new biblical outlook on living Tony was talking about. Check out his popular CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Douglas Miller, the song, My Soul's Been Anchored. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of building blocks of Christian manhood. And as we focus on these passages again, we're encouraging every church and every believer to make it your goal, to make it a priority, to be praying for the men of our world and for God to raise up more ministry specifically to men. The needs are all over the place for these specific matters. So let's pray much and hope that your church will make it a goal to really develop ministry that reaches specifically out to men. Again, before we went to break, want to remind you that we mentioned four specific areas of wisdom that we're to pass on to our boys, to every parent listening, and to churches as you establish ministries to men. Four, again, those four areas include helping men, number one, to get saved and to become spiritual leaders. Number two, teaching men to respect women and womanhood. Number three, to become good providers. And number four, to be role models for your spouse and children as well. Again, helping men to come to be saved and to grow up in their faith. Again, keep in mind, the greatest need in the life of any individual, men and women, is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Parents, we're wise to help invite our children to regularly to pray, to commit or recommit their hearts to the Lord at home, because again, lots of children have gotten saved at home as their parents have done that. And once your child accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, teach them how to grow up in their faith. And teach your boys, again, there to be spiritual leaders in their own lives, but also to become spiritual leaders in as they begin to date and move towards marriage, but also in their relationships, be spiritual leaders. You know, teach your children, for example, when they go out on a date, to pray and read the Word. Teach your boys they should pray and read God's Word. And if the boy says, well, Daddy, Mama, that'll scare the girls off, well, it'll scare the wrong kind of girls off. The fact is, the right kind of girl will be attracted to him and will appreciate his heart and his perspective if he prays and reads the Word of God. In fact, that'll help him find the right wife. Now, so again, if it scares that girl off, good riddance. Now, the reality is, parents, you need to teach your daughters the same thing. Again, if she asks to pray and read the Word when they go out, and that runs the fellow off, good riddance. Again, it gets rid of the wrong kind of fellows, and it draws the right kind. So, yes, reading the Word of God and praying, that should be a part of their lifestyle, whether they go out or whatever else they may do. So teach your boys to be spiritual leaders, and there's never an inappropriate place to talk about Jesus. Nowhere. Under any circumstance. Because, remember, God is the creator of the universe. What a foolish thing it is to say it's inappropriate to talk about God or the Word of God in any context. God is always appropriate. God is the most important topic. Yes, you talk about God in every context. He is the foundation of everything, every truth, every reality. Secondly, then, well, and of course, a part of being the spiritual leaders, not only should they have a lifestyle of praying and reading the Word of God and living it, again, they should be taught, you need to teach our boys that when they do marry and have a family, regularly bring your family together to read the Word of God and to pray. You know, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember, God's word will help your son to become a godly man that will have a vision and a direction for his life. But also, God's word will help him have a vision and a direction for his marriage as well. So it's very appropriate to allow the Word of God to be a vital part of everything. Secondly, then, we need to teach our boys to respect girls, to respect women. Part of that means teach your boys, don't use the B word with reference to women, okay? Inappropriate. Also teach your boys, men don't hit girls. Men don't beat up on women. Now, wimps do. Wimps beat up on girls and wimps beat up on women, but real men look out for and protect women. But the sad reality is we live in a world where there are a lot of wimps out there. Real men do not beat up on girls and hurt them. Real men understand that God has given us the responsibility of looking out for, protecting, and watching over women. And so it's important that that's a part of what we teach our boys. Real men don't hit girls, don't beat up on girls. They protect and look out for girls. Then that's a part of respecting women as well. Also teaching your boys, pornography has no place in the life of a real man, because again, that's something that brings destruction and wrong perspectives to his thinking and his thoughts. Sadly, there are some men that are so addicted to pornography, many of them will never marry because their mind and their thinking has been so perverted that they don't have a right perspective towards women. Well, again, pornography is not an innocent thing by any means. Again, it perverts the thinking and the perspective of the person that indulges in that sad and tragic, poisonous stuff. So it's to be avoided as well. Also, teach your boys that, again, he's not to be involved with a woman sexually until he's married her. That's a part of being a man, keeping yourself sexually pure until you marry. And for those that think that that's impossible, Well, that's the devil's lie. The fact is, remember, men are not dogs. Men are meant to be living in the image, as image bearers of God. And real men can, by God's grace, learn to keep themselves and take care of themselves and walk in a way that's honorable towards the Lord and honorable towards the opposite sex as well. So teaching our boys to respect women, secondly. Thirdly, then, teaching our boys to be good providers. Real men will work and work hard. That's an important responsibility that God gives to men. Men are to be good providers. And that doesn't mean that when he marries, that if his wife wants to work, certainly she can work too. But the primary responsibility of being a provider is placed on the man. One of the saddest things in the world is a lazy man, a man that won't work. You know, some fellows are looking for women to take care of them. And sometimes they walk up to girls, "How much money you make? What kind of paycheck you pulling home, honey?" You know, all kinds of things, because he's looking for a woman to take care of him so he can do what he wants to do. Well, again, that's not the picture of a man. That's a wimp. Real men will look for a wife that he can help, that he can take care of. But the fact is, there are a lot of fellas out there, they're not real men. So real men are to provide and provide well. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it points out, if a man will not take care of his own, he is worse than an infidel. Even if you go to church, fellas, if you go to church every Sunday, and even if you shout and run up and down the aisles and scream, but if you don't work and work hard, then that's not an example of a godly man. A godly man will work and work hard. Some of these fellas, they're contriving ways to get out of work. Some of them act like they're allergic to work, as if they go into hives at the thought of work. No, real men will take care. They will work and work hard and will want to take care of a family. So being a provider is an important part of being a man. And then fourthly, being a role model. Live in such a way that your wife and children can follow in your footsteps and learn what a Christian looks like by looking at you and following the basic lifestyle that you live. So it's important for us to know, as the church and as parents, we must teach and train and guide our boys to become godly men and godly individuals that will, again, one day be a blessing to a wife and to a family. Not a curse, but a blessing. And it's our job, dads and moms and the church, to help mold them into what God wants them to be. Our time is almost gone, but as we conclude, I want to take just a few more minutes to remind you again, these are truths that we must be prayerful about, because remember, everything is spiritual warfare. Every part of life is dealing with spiritual warfare. And being a man, a really godly man, is a wonderful goal to pursue for our boys and for our men. A real man, and of course, it's important to really understand biblically what that really, really means. You know, being a man, a real man, is much more than just being able to father a baby. A godly man, has a love for God and a maturity and an authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. A real man has perspectives that are biblical and honorable towards the Lord. A real man is someone who understands that women are special and precious, and they're to be honored and protected by men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected or used. A real man respects and honors women. A real man does not take advantage of women. He respects women and will decide not to be involved with a woman sexually unless he's first won her heart and put a ring on her finger and married her first. A real man, a godly man, is a man who clearly has decided to leave the ways of being a boy and to leave the actions and attitude of boyhood behind. His mind, his thinking, his heart, his actions, and his attitude now seek to reflect that of a real man that lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that boys ask questions in life while men give answers. Boys play house while real men build homes. Boys shack up while men get married. Boys too often abuse and misuse girls and women. Men protect, appreciate, honor, and look out for women. Boys too often consider a woman an object to be used, while real men see women as a gift and a prize to be honorably pursued and won. Boys make babies while men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them. Men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is a waste of their time and too hard, while men recognize the importance of school and the value of education and being prepared. They desire to be educated in order to gain skill in order to reach their full potential in life. And, you know, we could go on and on about the differences, but the fact is real men are about living for Jesus Christ, serving Jesus Christ, and following him, and seeking to honor God in every area of their life. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called your church and you've called Christian dads and moms to raise up godly boys to become godly men. And you've called the church to help raise men, to help men to become the godly individuals that you would have them to be. Lord, more and more raise up more ministry that will happen all over the place. You will really reach out to men, sharing the gospel with them and helping them to learn to grow up and become strong, godly individuals that are running after you, men after your own heart, like King David, men that seek you with their whole heart, men that are living lives that are given to the word of God, reading and meditating on your word and obeying that word, men that fill their lives with prayer, seeking you early in the morning and in the night season, seeking your wisdom, your guidance, your direction, your grace and your mercy to be at work in their lives in greater ways. Men that seek to live your word every day of their lives. More and more, Father, raise up men that will become godly and honorable husbands, that will honor you as husbands and honor you as dads as well, that will take care of children and be good providers and good role models before those children as well. Father, more and more, help us as a church to recognize the need for us to pray much for our men to be everything you want them to be, to pray for our boys that they would grow up to love you and live for you from childhood all the way throughout adulthood as well. And Lord, guide us as churches, as the church, to have ears to hear, because your Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need to do and how to do it to really do this effectively. Help us to establish effective ministries, Lord, not ministries that are in name only, but ministries that are really reaching men in large numbers, helping them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and coming to love you and to love your word and love the things of God, and just having a longing and a desire to be everything you want them to be. Lord, guide us in recognizing, Lord, that by your hand, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you're more than able to do it. And help us to remember the problem is never with you. It's with us. Help us, Lord, to be responsible enough to make this the priority you want it to be in the church. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. And Father, with every passing day, help us to recognize the need for us to be a people that are really making this the priority you want it to be. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We've looked at the topic of building blocks of Christian manhood. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.